I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter 32. Tonight, you know, we talked about a different kind of leader. We looked at Christ. We looked at a leader with a different heart. Tonight I want to look at a leader with a different attitude. Exodus chapter number 32. As this chapter opens up, Moses is at the top of Mount Sinai, receiving God's commandments, like the Ten Commandments and so forth. And so God's giving Moses the Ten Commandments for the people, okay? Are you with me so far? All right. He's up there communing with God for 40 days and 40 nights. Well, while he's up there in the mountain talking to God, he left Aaron in charge. Well, in your handout, it says Aaron failed miserably as a leader. I mean, this was a big mistake, leaving Aaron in charge, okay? He failed miserably as a leader. Look with me at verse 1 of Exodus 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. And they said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, real leader here, okay, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, or your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. He makes an idol, what he does. He fashions this idol. In verse 5, And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast of the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Verse 7. God saw every bit of it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. And Moses does so. And I want you to notice what Moses says to Aaron, who was left in charge as the leader, in verse 21. Look what he says, verse 21. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? You know, he's like, What did they gag you and tie you up? You know, what in the world did they do to you that you would allow them to do that? Did they hold a gun to your head? They didn't have guns back then, or, you know, but did they hold a knife to your throat? I mean, what did they do to you, Aaron? How in the world did this happen? How could you let this happen? I'm gone 40 days, 40 nights, and in just 40 days you have corrupted the entire camp with idolatry. How in the world did this happen? If you cross-reference Deuteronomy 9:20 with this, you'll find that the Lord was so angry with Aaron that the Bible says He would have destroyed Aaron had it not been for Moses' intercessory prayers. That God was going to destroy Aaron. You see, Aaron was a man with some very wrong attitudes. He was not the leader that Moses was, that's for sure. And Aaron had some very wrong attitudes before this great sin and after the great sin. That's why the Bible says that the Lord was so angry with him to the point that God desired to take Aaron's life. And had it not been for Moses, as I said, Aaron would have been dead. What I want to do tonight is I want to look at Aaron's negative example as a leader. And I want us to take from him, his negative example, I want to look at four attitudes that every spiritual leader must possess. Okay? Let's look at it tonight. Number one, a leader's attitude is to please God, not people. In Exodus 32, go back to verse 1. It says, And when the people, notice that phrase, and win the people. It wasn't that Aaron, you know, necessarily thought it up, but the people did. It says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people, notice again, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. And he was the leader, if you want to call it that. And they said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. So, you know, the people here, they want to engage in idol worship, thereby breaking the first and the second of the Ten Commandments. And the people gather themselves together unto Aaron. So they get this big group together, and they approach their appointed leader, and they try to intimidate him. And the sad part is, it worked. You know, it worked. You know, I mean, can you imagine I'm going on vacation, and a group gathers themselves together and comes to Brother Larry and says, Brother Larry, as for this Pastor Dan, we know not what has become of him. And they say to him, up, make us gods, make us some idols. You know, I mean, this is what's going on here. You understand? That'd be like a group in the church coming to Larry wanting to do something this, you know, foolish like this. And so they get this group together, and it works. We read it. Verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. Man, Aaron helps them out here. And you know what the sad part is? Is that in verses 2, 3, 4, and 5, there is absolutely no record of any resistance on Aaron's part. I mean, his attitude was, well, I'm the leader, and this is what the people want, so I need to make the people happy, and I need to appease them, so I'll just give them what they want. And obviously, he forgot Exodus 23, verse 2, which is just a few chapters back, where God said, look at it in your handout. It's in your handout there. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do what? Evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to rest or to pervert judgment. And so God told him, look, follow not a multitude to do evil. As a leader, are you hearing me tonight? As a leader, Aaron's job was not to make the people happy. His job was to tell them God's truth and do what was right. That was his job as a leader. Tell them God's truth and do what's right. One of the things I tell our deacons, you know, I say, look, as deacons, you know, you're not this political representative of the people. And that, you know, you have to do what the people all want you to do. No, you're a leader. You do what is right. You do what is right. And in your handout there, I want you to get this statement. It says that Aaron wanted to be popular more than he wanted to be pure. Many times Christians will compromise God's truth in order to please somebody else. Hey, you may compromise the truth of God to please your wife or to please your husband. You may compromise God's truth to please somebody at work or to please a boss. You may compromise the truth of God in order to please someone at school, teenagers at school, or college students at college, the group. You may compromise God's truth. Pastors may compromise God's truth, and they do it in order to please people. And pastors will water down the truth, and pastors will avoid the truth. Pastors will avoid certain things because they want to please people. But God will not bless this kind of an attitude. This is not a leader's attitude. A leader, God is looking for some leaders with a different attitude. You see, if you're going to be a leader at work in the business world, then you have to seek to please God, not people. Now the world says just the opposite. If you want to move up the ladder, you got to please people. No, but that's not God's ways. Whether anybody likes it or not, your allegiance must be to God, to the Word of God, and not people. In your handout, I got a few verses here that I think are very relevant to this subject. In Galatians 1:10, the Apostle Paul said, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, then I should not be the servant of Christ." Look at the next verse, 1 Thessalonians 2:4. "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." You see, in your handout, it says Aaron failed as a leader because he was a people pleaser rather than a God pleaser. Are you a people pleaser or are you a God pleaser? Are you more concerned with what people think about you or with what God thinks about you? Aaron had some very wrong attitudes. Aaron had some very misguided thinking. And as a result, Aaron, when Moses was up there in the mountain, Aaron's trying to please the people. And they're like, "Up, make us gods." "Okay. If that's what you want, and that'll make you happy, then as a leader, I need to make you happy." No, he needed to stand for God's truth. That's what he needed to do. He needed to stand for the truth of God. And he didn't do it. He failed as a leader because he had some wrong attitudes. Listen, you're going to be tempted at home, in your relationships at home, to maybe compromise the truth to please somebody in the family. You're going to be tempted to compromise God's truth to please somebody at work or to please, you know, a relative, family member. You're going to be tempted to compromise God's truth. Leaders cannot do that. If you're going to be a leader for God, you must be a God pleaser, not a people pleaser. Okay? Now, you know what? If we can please God and people, then that's great. But our first allegiance is to God. Okay? Listen, sometimes I preach some things and I look at the message before I'm about to come into church and I just look at it and go, "Are you sure, God? Are you sure? This is really what you want me to preach?" Because, you know, I know that there's certain things I preach that are going to go over like a lead balloon with a lot of people. But those of you that have been here very long know that that doesn't stop me. You know, really. I mean, you know, you have to, if you're going to be a leader for God, then you have to have just unwavering allegiance to God, not people. And then number two, the second attitude here that we learn is that a leader's attitude, if you want to be a leader with a different attitude, a leader's attitude is to confront his own sin first. Well, this is a good one. After Moses confronts Aaron about his sin and his wickedness, let's look what Aaron's first words are. Okay, look at verse 22. Moses comes down, he confronts Aaron. And notice here in verse 22, "And Aaron said," because if you look at verse 21, remember Moses said unto Aaron, "What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" And Aaron said, look at the answer here, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they're set on mischief." You know, what really gets me there is how he attacks Moses right away. What's he referring to? He's referring back to what Moses did in verse 19. Look at it with me. "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp," Moses, when he was coming down from the mountain, "that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. You ever get mad and say, boy, I am hot? He waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands, that which contained God's law, and he broke them beneath the mount. That was a symbol of the fact that they had completely and in totality broken God's law. And so he breaks the tablet. You have broken God's law. Verse 20. And he took the calf which they had made. And notice what he does with the old calf here. He burnt it with fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Brother Larry, that was some bitter coffee right there. Buddy, we like strong coffee. That's too strong right there. Mercy. I mean, Moses is on a rampage here. And so get the picture. He comes into camp. He hears them dancing. Hears music. And we find out later, they're dancing naked around this calf. And so he comes into camp. He throws down the tablets and breaks them. He takes the golden calf. He grinds it up into dust. He then finally makes his way to Aaron. And when he finally makes his way over to Aaron, who was left in charge, he says, how could you bring such sin upon the people? And here's Aaron. You don't have to get so mad. You're losing your temper. And you know, that just really gets me right there. Rather than focus on his own sin, Aaron first focused on Moses' disposition, as though that was what needed adjustment. You know? And no, sir. He needed the attitude adjustment, not Moses. Moses was righteously indignant. It wasn't Moses that needed the attitude adjustment. It was Aaron that needed the attitude adjustment. First thing he does, though, is point the finger at Moses. You don't have to get so mad. In your handout, it says sometimes a leader does have to confront sin. But Galatians 6:1 is the right attitude. And what does it say? Look in your handout. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. What are the next two words? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You can turn your hand out over there. You see, he did just the opposite. It says in your handout, rather than focus on his own sin, Aaron first focused on Moses' disposition. And this is exactly what unrepentant people and what non-leaders do. When a non-leader is confronted with their sin, they try to reverse things and accuse the person confronting them. Policeman pulls you over, gives you a ticket for doing 80 in a 50. Before you get home, you have rationalized it. It was a speed trap. That's all it was. It was a speed trap. Can you believe how rude that policeman was to me? All right. How about when you grew up? Me, man, I got in trouble a lot, you know, in school when I grew up. I can't understand that, but I did. And I got in trouble a lot, you know, for talking and carrying on and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, whenever I would get in trouble, you know, before I got home, you know, I'd already rationalized it all out, figured it out, and it was the teacher picking on me. And when I got through the door, I just acted real disgusted. My mom would be like, what's wrong? Oh, it's that teacher. What's wrong? She just don't like me. She's picking on me. All the other kids get away with it. But she always gets me for doing stuff. Well, what kind of stuff? Well, here's a note a teacher wanted me to give you. She's picking on me. You know, so I've already set the table for my mom to make her feel sorry for me. Of course, it never worked with my mom. You know, if I got it at school, I got it at home. Mom was not stupid when it comes to stuff like that. Well, she wasn't stupid at all, but you know what I mean. She knew the games. I mean, she knew. And parents that, you know, their kids come home and they're in trouble at school, and first thing they do is they're going to defend their kids and go up there and give that teacher a piece of their mind. They're fools. They're fools. They're ignorant. They really are, seriously. You know? I mean, when your first thing is you jump to the defense of your kid, you know what? You have forgotten your kid's made of flesh. Let you in on a little secret. Those sweet little kids next door, those precious little angels, and those wonderful godly teenagers over there at Wednesday Night Lights, they have a sin nature. Okay? You see, leaders don't act that way. Leaders don't do that. A leader says, you know what? I need to deal with me first. I need to deal with me first. So a leader may have to confront sin, may have to confront other people, but their attitude is, let me deal with me first. That wasn't Aaron's attitude, though. He wanted to deal with Moses' anger rather than deal with his own sin. And then number three, a leader's attitude is to take personal responsibility for his actions. A leader's attitude is to take personal responsibility. Now, this really gets me here. Look at verse 22. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Aaron was ready to pass the blame. I mean, he was ready. You know, Moses, the problem is these people that you left me with. It's all their doings. They're the ones that wanted this. Of course, passing the blame is something that's been going on since when? The Garden of Eden. That's right. And, you know, when God came and he confronted Adam, what did Adam say? The woman whom thou gavest me. She gave me of the tree and I did eat. That still works today, doesn't it, Tony, huh? The woman... Problem is, me and you can't get away with it, right? Neither could Adam. God knew better. So God turns to Eve. What is this that thou hast done? She said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. It's the serpent's fault. You know, our society is full of this today. Amen? Nobody wants to take accountability for their actions. In fact, is that in your handout? Yeah. Very few people want to take responsibility for their actions today. That's in your handout. Everybody is the victim. It's always somebody else's fault. Life is unfair. And that's why I do what I do. If everybody else would treat me right, I wouldn't make all these bad choices. And very few people want to take responsibility for their choices. But we would be wise to remember Romans 14, 11, and 12 in your handout. For it is written to the church here. Look at it with me. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of what? Himself to God. We're all going to stand before God and give an account. You know what? When I stand before God, I'm not going to stand there with Brother Larry. It was this assistant pastor you gave me. He did it. He made me do it. He's not going to be there. You know what I mean? And
you mean in heaven?
In heaven. Why?
Brother, I'm going to be there.
Oh, yeah, you'll be in heaven, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to come out that way. But he won't be there with me.
Right.
Right.
Clarify that.
All right. And you know what else, buddy? She won't be there with you. You'll be there all alone too.
Right.
The Bible says what? We are going to give, every person shall give account of who? Himself to God. You see, a leader has to take, you know, personal responsibility for their actions. For their actions. And this very issue is, I think, why you don't see more genuine repentance today. You know, the Bible says, Paul said to the Corinthian church, he said, "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance." You know, a lot of people today are sorry when they sin because they're sorry they got caught. They're sorry that somebody's holding them accountable. They feel sorry for themselves, and they feel sorry for the circumstances that made them do this. But repentance only comes when people say, "I was wrong and I sinned and I am out of fellowship with God and I need to get right." And as leaders, sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes I've eaten plenty of crow in my time. You know, I mean, you just, as a leader, you have to. You know, didn't we see that illustrated, huh, with on the front page of the paper this morning? Bush takes blame. You know? Well, as leaders, I think we all, none of us are naive enough, you know, to think that what happened in New Orleans is one man's fault. Okay? It's a mixture of a lot of things. And there was all kinds of problems there, all kinds of unpreparedness on the part of the city, on the part of the state, on the part of the federal government, all the way down. But our president was man enough to say, "Hey, the buck stops here." As a leader, you know, sometimes we have to do that. We have to take personal responsibility for our actions. And then let me give you the last thing, number four. A leader's attitude is one of complete honesty. Okay, if you would, take your Bible. Go to verse 24. Verse 24. Notice Aaron continues with his dissertation here, okay? And he says, I mean, this is brilliant, isn't it? Verse 24. "And I said unto them," now this is Aaron talking to Moses, trying to explain this mess. "And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf." Just threw it in, and here it came. I don't know how it happened. It just happened. Well, what was the truth? Look at verse 3. The truth is found in verses 3 and 4. "And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he made it a molten calf. Then the guy," verse 5, "when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it." It's unbelievable. "And he said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." He had the people bring the gold, he fashioned it, he engraved this calf with a graving tool, he made the calf, he built an altar to it, and then he said, "Y'all come out tomorrow, gonna have a feast. Going to party around this calf." You see, that was the truth. So what did Aaron do? Well, he lied to Moses. He flat out lied. He lied. And so many times today, the attitude is, "Well, so what? I lied." You know, so many people out there, they lied to make a business deal. You know, they lied to make a deal. They lie to get a sale. They lie to get a customer. They lie to get a customer off their back. They lie to an employee, or the employee will lie to the boss, you know. And this is certainly no way to be a leader, okay? It's no way to be a leader. Lying is very serious. Very, very serious. The Bible is very clear when it says that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. The Bible says God hates lying. Because when we lie, who are we acting like? Yeah, because Satan is a liar and the, remember? John 8:44, he's the father of it. But God is a God of truth. The Bible says that God cannot lie. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God cannot lie. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He's the truth. The truth. The truth. And so, a leader's attitude is one of complete honesty. So, as we look at our handout, we see a leader with a different attitude. Okay? Not like Aaron. How can we not be like Aaron and fail as a leader? How can we be a true leader like Moses? Well, number one, a leader's attitude is to please who? God, not men, not people. Number two, a leader's attitude is to confront his own sin, what? First. Number three, a leader's attitude is to take personal responsibility for his actions. And a leader's attitude is one of complete, what? Honesty. Okay, let's be leaders for God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, for the Bible study tonight.